Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are going through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one of them. Right now, we're up to episode 18 of season 2. This one is called Up the Long Ladder. It was directed by Weinrich Kolbe, written by Melinda Snodgrass, and it aired back on May 22nd, 1989. In this episode, the Enterprise becomes involved in two previously unknown Earth colonies' struggle for survival. So, right after this break, we're going to be joined by Clay, and we are going to talk about Up the Long Ladder.
William, is something wrong?
What do you mean?
Do you not like girls?
Of course I do. Oh, is there a special technique to this foot washing?
You generally start at the top and work your way down.
I think I can handle that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. How's it going? Want to talk about Up the Long Ladder? I sure do. Clay, you're joining us for this one. How are you?
I'm good. My voice might be a little off today because I'm suffering from Klingon measles.
Yeah, you're suffering from...
Yeah, which will mysteriously go away in the next scene and never be brought up again.
So. No, it's all a tease. You know, apparently it causes dramatic fainting and...
And the sudden arrival of space Irish.
Yeah, the space Irish. You don't get bumps. You get bumps and measles, don't you?
Maybe that's what the Klingons' foreheads are. Yeah. It's just measles.
That goes in too deep, I think. There's like genetic engineering that explains all that stuff.
Is it really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Why the Klingons have smooth heads in the original series.
Ah, retconning at its finest.
It's explained in Enterprise, I think, explains it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really Enterprise's claim to fame.
That they just explain all that early shit.
They tie up loose end stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of admirable for a series to do. It's certainly difficult. It's not very easy to tie up two different series and try to have them all make sense with each other.
Well, I mean, their other claim to fame is getting totally cock-blocked in their finale by Jonathan Frakes.
Where you reduce the finale of a show to just being a holodeck episode is pretty much the worst thing you can do.
A fate worse than cancellation.
Well, this episode, you know, we talked cock-blocked in their finale, but Riker is not going to get cock-blocked in this episode.
No.
He is not going to let
Absolutely
that.
Not.
So let's break down the plot real quick. The Enterprise gets a distress call. They go to this colony. They beam the people up, and they are Irish cartoons. And
cartoons? You're giving cartoons a bad name if you say cartoons.
if it was racist to make fun of white people, that's certainly what this episode does.
Yeah.
They rescue them. They find out that there's another colony close by. They go there. There are a clone colony. Mm-hmm. Apparently only 5 people survived that colony's original thing. So to survive, they didn't have enough genetic stock to actually breed, so they had to clone themselves. And now they're cloning. The clones are starting to degenerate because they've made a copy of a copy so many times that it's no longer viable.
Just like the movie Multiplicity.
Yep. Which they should have had Keaton in this one. And then after that, it's just, you know, the Enterprise says, hey, we got a lot of drunken idiots who like to bone over here, and we need a group over here who has microwaves that the other group doesn't have, so we combine them, and that'll save the day. And they do it, and that's that.
Sure is.
And that's that. Not a good episode.
Yeah, well, no, it's not, but I feel like, again, the trend that we've been running through with these season 2 episodes is it's watchable.
Yeah.
If this was a season 1 episode, it would be unwatchable.
Yep.
The first thing I want to point out, and only because I bring this other episode up all the time, what they do in this episode to get the Irish people off the planet is what they should have done in Angel 1.
To rescue the men?
Yeah.
You mean?
Instead of going down there and then not doing anything, Picard's like, I don't give a shit. Even Riker's like, well, we're having a problem. We need to talk. He's like, no, I don't care. Take them off the planet. Just beam them up. I don't give a shit.
Yep.
And which would have saved us all 40 minutes of a shitty episode in Angel One.
Yeah. That's definitely true. It's a weak Samaritan snare before they said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's, people are just not doing stuff to get the plot going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Picard just not listening to Riker.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have time. Just do it. And it just to have it pay off in this bizarre way where you don't spoil the joke of seeing these Irish people.
Yeah.
And I thought this episode was interesting just for what it considers. You basically don't, because these colonists are humans, right? These are humans that have gone off. The Prime Directive seems to not apply if you're a human, no matter how much development you've undergone not dealing with humans.
Yeah.
Because they, forcefully evacuate this group from the planet. They seem to want to go, but they still are just like, fuck it, beam them up, get them out of there. And then they're also super judgy about this clone society. In a way that feels really weird that you can, you know, in the prime, you're just going to be like, you shouldn't be cloning. That's bad. Yeah. How about you go bone these other people and make some real babies and that'll be good. And if this was if there was an alien species, I think Prime Directive would be the point of this episode, wouldn't
Probably.
It?
Yeah. Cause I mean, even if it was one half of them were, let's say the space Irish were all aliens.
Right.
And the answer to save the clones is, well, you're going to have to bone all these spaces, these alien Irish people. I think that's probably the first thing written down in the Prime Directive is do not have humans interbreed forcefully with space Irish.
No Klingons, no Romulans, no
because
Irish.
There's nothing. Sense.
It's just
that's what it says over the bar in 10 Forward. Like it's like one of those kitschy signs, like "Don't shoot the messenger."
Yeah, quit your bitching. Just that one word thing. So it's just so stupid. But I didn't really, especially after the hell was the other cloning episode, the Pulaski centric one, where there's the cloned kids who are like super people and they cause the sickness.
Oh yeah,
unnatural selection.
Yep.
Everyone seems to love clones in that episode.
Well, they're pretty cool.
We get here. And Riker hates clones.
Yeah,
Riker hates clones.
Right.
He has the best line. He goes, there's one Will Riker. If there were 100, even 1,000, I wouldn't be special anymore.
It's aww, like, that's so cute.
Poor Riker.
Well, so I don't know why. I don't know why at the end, once they decide that the secret is that, you know, they need to, you know, start boning each other to further species. I don't know why Riker's hand didn't go up immediately. Like, I can oversee that whole operation if you want me to. I
just immediately.
Go down there and
3x3, you
study.
Say?
Yeah.
3x3.
Three at a time? Is that three at a time?
He's got, like, a bracket on the wall. He's like, all right, well, over here, we're going to pair this woman and that. It's, I think the major failing.
Do I have to take them all to dinner, or can I? Can we just get to the point?
Do I have to go to my quarters? That takes 5 minutes, and I could...
Listen,
I could.
Are they all going to want to wash their feet? Because I do not have time for this.
I think the real problem with this one... I agree with you. I think it's watchable.
Yeah.
I think the real problem is that this episode felt like three or four ideas that were half thought out, and they were just like, fuck it, shove them together and see what happens.
There's a lot of stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
By the time... This is one where the thrust of the plot doesn't happen until you go to the clone side, which is like halfway through the episode.
Yeah, they get better at it, I think, but normally the teaser is a good indication of what the episode is going to be about.
Not so in this
Not so here, because Worf's storyline, he faints and then they're like, "Oh, yeah, you're sick."
Yeah, what the hell?
And then
the
it
hell?
Just goes away.
What? Why? What? Go ahead.
In my opinion, the Pulaski Klingon tea scene is the best scene in this show.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, because it's not horribly racist. Is that what
right? And it's not idiotic in how they deal with the other cultures. And it's like, oh, this is kind of cute. And even though they can't both, she's physically unable to drink this tea because it'll kill her.
Yeah,
she comes up with a solution. We can at least share this moment.
Yeah, Is it supposed to be like a metaphor for the rest of the episode?
I think so. I think it's terribly done.
Ugh.
But I think that's what it's getting at, even though I don't think the rest of the episode really has a point about what it's trying to say about anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Worf just faints, and they're like, medical emergency, cut to the credits, after and then he's fine.
Like, after he looks like he's battling, like...
diarrhea.
Diarrhea, yeah. Or like a kidney stone.
Worf's got a serious case of the stomach gurgles. Ooh.
I also thought it was weird that they just started with just the silent ship.
Is that
common?
I thought that was weird too. Yeah. For an awkward amount of time.
Made me want to fall asleep a little bit.
No captain's log leading into what's going on.
I actually, when I started it, I thought I, for whatever reason, I had started like mid episode or something.
I thought the volume wasn't on. It was when I was like, I heard there was the noise, but I wasn't hearing captain's log started. So I was like, why is it not going? And then it goes into Picard and Riker spend an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out where these people came from.
Yeah.
And it's like...
A distress beacon.
Yeah, it's like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
And it's another thing of...
It's actually very similar to the setup of Angel One, isn't it? Don't they get a distress beacon?
Yeah, distress beacon. They don't have this charming scene where Picard goes, what's this? Hits play and it goes, beep, beep. And Riker goes, sounds like an SOS. Well done, Will. You've identified something that took weeks for Starfleet medical to understand or whatever. It's like, I don't understand. Especially when he says it's an old Earth beacon. Couldn't you just plug it into a computer?
Yeah, Data should know that.
Right, he should know it immediately. Although, the other good scene, another thing about the episode is it was funny, and I found myself laughing despite myself for how stupid some of the comedy was.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the scene of... it was almost advanced comedy where Data's like, the ship means butterfly in Spanish. And Picard goes, okay. He goes, I thought that would be helpful. He goes, it appears to not be.
Well, is that's the same scene where he starts like reciting something and Picard's like, Data, shut up.
They're talking over each other. As Picard is trying to figure it out, and Data's like, a loom, something Rumpelstiltskin used to spin gold. And it's like, would you shut the fuck up? But it was just a very... I love Stuart's delivery, it appears to not be useful. Yeah. I thought it would be relevant.
When they first beamed everybody up, and I was like, okay, clearly they're not showing them for a reason. The first thing I thought was Space Amish.
Yes.
But I was close.
Very close.
You see, lad, every moment of pleasure in life has to be purchased by an equal moment of pain. Whiskey. Terrible. It has no bite.
Jaha, salute.
Oh, that's what I call a wee drop of the creature.
Father!
Remember what I said about the moment of pain? Well, 'tis about to begin.
Hello, my darling.
Oh, my darling, is it? I might have known. Are you drunk yet, or can you talk with Dr. Pulaski about the children?
What about them?
She wants to send them to school with the ship's children.
Oh, what do you think?
I think it's a good idea. So go handle it. Ooh. And I'm sure there's something you can be doing with your time. And as for you...
What?
Why did you have to tell them this magic wall can give them more than meat and potatoes? No, we'll never get a lick of work out of them.
Madam... Have you ever considered a career in security?
If it's anything like babysitting, I'm an authority.
It's drunken space Irish.
And it's, you know, yeah, drunken, real characters of Irish who only drink and the men are either having sex or being bitches to people. That's like her entire...
For the women, you mean?
The women, yeah. The guy's just a drunk who is... Apparently not doing any work because he's trying to brew his own beer for the entire episode.
I couldn't believe that like, not only were they like the lowest of lowest level stereotypes of Irish people, I'm surprised they weren't like, you know, just all eating raw potatoes.
Yep.
But they're the first thing they try to do when they get there is homebrew beer and other liquor.
And it sets off the fire alarm system, yeah, which apparently will kill you if you're hit by the fire suppression system, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Well, he was like, what is that thing? He's like, and Worf tells him it's a force field. And he's like, oh, what would be happening if I was near it? He'd be like, well, you're in the fire. He's like, yeah, but outside of that, he goes, you would be hit by the force field, you would run out of oxygen and suffocate to death.
Oh, lovely. Like, well, I mean, it's a good way to put a fire out.
It's the best way.
And but then,
they're so stereotypically Irish that,
oh god,
the transporter, which it's never done before, beams up the straw, yeah, that is around. it's never beamed up like the dirt that people,
okay,
are standing on.
First question. Where was O'Brien in this episode being like, hey guys, why don't you chill out? We need to have a talk about some stuff.
I was thinking after I'd seen it, it would be great if, you know how Worf always says, do you like, this is what it means to be a Klingon?
Yeah.
If O'Brien had, this is what it means to be Irish. If it was O'Brien's Irish episode.
And I love that after they try the whiskey from the replicator, Worf creates the Klingon drink,
yep,
and when the guy drinks it, it apparently turns him into Jerry Lewis.
Oh boy!
Ooh,
he's pulling on his collar. Yeah. Oh boy! It's got some kick. That's all he was, yeah, looking for.
Oh god!
It, and this the space Irish. I don't understand. She's
let's
like,
hope they never come,
like,
to America.
Oh, you'll be making meat and potatoes after the replicator.
Oh, Jesus,
oh my
Christ.
God, what the fuck?
Why did you tell them they could have anything other than meat and potatoes?
And she's wearing...
Are you drinking again, Dad? All you do is drink.
Get over here. And
is there any way I can wash my feet and possibly find myself a rich husband?
Possibly find an entire shirt instead of a knit sweater that only covers my tits, which is an interesting choice for such a, you know, a fundamental people, that her shirt thing is so bizarre.
Oh, God. Riker's such a creep in this episode.
He really is.
Such a creep.
That
like, shot they hold on him when he's, like, just staring
when he's at her. When he's looking at her on all fours,
yeah,
and she's looking up at him, and he's just glaring back at her.
He's like you only see his face, but I can only imagine his hand is like got a stick that's slowly picking up the back of her dress. Like, yeah,
it was. It could have just been the photo shoot for Spinal Tap's album, Smell,
yeah,
the Glove.
Smell,
like,
the Glove.
Holding it in front of her face. It's a very sexy album cover.
It's not that. It's not that he's asking. He's forcing her to smell the glove. It's a joke, you know.
It's a joke. It's very sexy. People love sex.
Sexist. Ist. Wes.
That whole thing is bizarre. Where she's like, and what are you looking at? And he's like, oh, have you never seen a woman before? And he's like, I thought I had. And then she just makes lovey eyes. And then,
what's that hanging out of your trousers?
He seems to have a badger in his trousers.
Is that a bottle of whiskey, or are you just happy to see me?
And they're leaving. And Riker can he's just like, I'm going to stay behind, give her hand. Picard gives him a look that you know
exactly. Why is Picard not going like, dude, come on.
Do your job.
I didn't realize
the second in command could just willy-nilly do whatever the fuck he wants in his spare time. He brings her to Pound Town. He brings her back, and she cleans his apartment and then has sex with him.
She cleans his
She comes in and she's like, William Riker, your apartment's a mess. And she starts like straightening up his stuff. And then she wants to wash her feet. And Jules,
yeah,
and Vincent
his,
are like
dick.
A foot massage scene. And that's the end of the storyline. I mean,
would you ever give a space Irish a foot massage?
The problem here is our conversation probably sounds disjointed, but there's nothing tying each sort of act in the show is its own little thing. There's the Worf gets sick and has tea, the space Irish, the clones, who I guess we can talk about. They're just clones. There's five of them. And it takes the Enterprise a long time to realize what's going on. Pulaski, unethically, I might add, sort of discreetly scans one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just accuses them of being cloned. Not accuses, because she's right, but just lets everyone else know.
There's a lot of medical, unethical things going on in this episode. Yeah. Whether it's scanning them without asking or, you know, drugging them and stealing their stem cells, basically.
Or, I would argue, murdering your clone. Which just seems to be...
You could have built a whole episode around that shit.
Which is the most... Probably the biggest problem of this one, because the cloning stuff is the most interesting. The Irish are comic relief and it sucks. Like, it's stupid. Worf's doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
The cloning stuff is the most interesting, and this is a Melinda Stardgrass script, so I figured she's probably proven herself to be one of the better writers so far. Mm-hmm. And I thought that they would get into something interesting about, like, at what, like, is it a big deal? Instead, they're mad immediately.
Okay. So here's something interesting. Do you have any idea how many, like, rewrites this went through or anything?
No. I think it's a fairly standard production.
Okay, because I was thinking, this episode screams rewritten to tone down Pulaski. Because now that I'm thinking about it, she's got that first scene with Worf that's sort of kind of like a metaphor for whatever's going on.
I liked Pulaski in this
episode. I thought she was great. I think she was excellent in this episode.
Her personality was played correctly.
Yes. It was good. But you have that first scene with Worf where, you know, they're kind of laying out a theme a little bit. And then she's not really involved with any of the Irish stuff.
No.
But once you get down to the clone place, she's very much involved with that. She even has, I mean, she's there when Riker, basically aborts the clone guy.
Yep.
And then they have another, I think it's when they were talking about taking the cells. There's a close up on her and she makes what basically feels like a pro-choice statement or something.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what it is, but.
Are you talking about the conference room scene?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And that kind of makes me feel like there should have been more of a thread of her running through, like, cause
right.
she ties
into everything.
Yeah. She seems to have very strong opinions about the cloning and stuff and they don't really do anything with it.
No.
Like, it seems like it would have been a good episode for her to focus on her.
Yep.
And tell whatever story they were trying to tell in there, but they don't really stick with her.
No. No, they don't. She's just there to tell them that they're clones and nothing.
And get zapped by David Byrne and Belle Biv DeVoe.
By a gun that doesn't make you fall down very quickly. Like, people can just leisurely walk over and grab you.
Did you notice after when they zap them and they're dragging them away, Frakes turns his head to the camera?
Oh, does.
Right before they pull him off screen. I mean, it's not something you'd ever notice on old TV, but on the giant screen, you can very clearly see him do it.
It was, and they did a bit of a disservice to Troy, where now Geordi can just tell if he's wrong. And why didn't they just...
Do you think Troy reads a lot of books? Do you think that's what she does?
No, she seems to be... She seems to not do anything at this point.
Do you think
point.
She's, like, rethinking her life choices?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe she should... it's funny. I watched Generations last night for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And she is flying the ship for an important part of that.
Wow. All right. Cool.
When the ship is being attacked.
Yeah.
And it crashes.
Just after they detach the saucer thing?
Yeah. And even before, when the Klingons are just, like, shooting through their shields.
Yeah.
She is the one... Riker goes, Gianna, take the helm, and she runs over, and she's flying the ship for a good portion. It's like, I don't think she's ever done that before, and it's interesting that they're going to start doing it now.
Speaking of the movies, when they were doing the clone thing, and they were talking about how they needed other DNA to you know, et cetera, et cetera, I for a second thought that this was the jumping off point from where they ended up going with Nemesis.
Oh.
But they don't end up... Picard doesn't end up giving them his...
He doesn't.
DNA or anything. But I thought that would have been a pretty interesting callback.
Yeah, it would have been a cool tie-in. I thought that this one was similar to When the Bow Breaks, which is the Ozone episode where Wesley gets...
I don't think I saw that one.
It's the first season. A planet kidnaps a bunch of children from the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Because their, like, ozone layer is being depleted and they can't breed anymore, so they need fertile people. And it's similarly problematic to that in that this alien, they kind of make a rational decision, but at the same time, they're not doing anything that fixes the problem.
Yeah.
It just prolongs.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I was watching it with my girlfriend last night, and as soon as it was over, the first thing she said was, that plan's not going to work.
Right.
Because
you get another 15 generations or whatever out of Riker.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got, since you've got all these clones, if you've, I mean, unless, it depends how you're splitting it up, because if you've got three clone guys who are having sex with the same non-clone woman,
right,
you're going to have three of the same baby.
Right. That's
and vice versa. If
that's
you have three,
extremely true.
If
yeah.
you have three non-clone guys having, oh no, I guess that would be different that end. But
yeah, you'd be mixing it up. You can't.
But I mean, if you had one non-clone guy having sex with three different clone women,
right? Like, no matter how many of the clones exist on that planet, you only have the five,
right,
that can actually be viable.
You know what? They didn't think far enough ahead. What they should have done, instead of cloning themselves right away, why didn't they all just have a round of kids before they started the cloning process?
Yes.
So, because I think there was like three guys and two women or
two
something.
Women.
So they could have gotten like at least six kids out of that before.
Yeah, we'd have to do our little genetic Punnett squares to see what the possibilities to have smooth peas versus wrinkled peas would be. that's true. A very weird sexual episode too. Very open sexual politics here.
Yeah. You know, actually, you know, the one thing I actually did like about that about the Irish woman character is that clearly she and Riker bang, but then after that, it's not a plot point. It's just like it happened.
It just happened.
It's like, you know, back to whatever.
Back to smashing up the brewery that my father's trying to make and tending to these ducks that are encased in a cage. Yeah.
Although you could say that's not consistent with character, because clearly she's looking for a powerful husband.
Yes.
Or maybe.
Or her father, certainly. She's just looking for...
Well, no, because at the end, when Picard is explaining the thing to her, and she's like, wait... What does he do? It's like, he's a prime minister. Oh, he probably has a lot of money.
Which will help me escape my
because the one thing
bedroom.
The one thing we learn from progressive Gene Roddenberry's series Star Trek: The Next Generation is that all Irish are nothing but gold digging breeding stock.
That's right. Need the Kanye just hey, nothing but gold digging.
That song is about this episode. Actually.
Yeah, I would hope so. He seems to be a big Trek
fan. Put that on Wikipedia.
It's a dumb filler episode.
Sometimes you just have to bow to the absurd.
It's unique that all the acts just stand by themselves. Nothing ties in together. There's no overriding theme. Pulaski doesn't serve her purpose there.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about it. There's really not. There's no universe building here. There's nothing that goes on.
The one thing I did want to say is that why it feels like it feels like some original series concepts being run through a Next Generation filter.
Yep.
Because that space Irish thing screams original series.
Yes. Yep.
I feel like they've even done that, or they've done something like that where it's like, oh, we're on a planet where it seems to be medieval England.
Right. And such a pure split. It's like, what even caused the two colonists to split apart?
I don't remember.
Some were just like... So I assume what this means is they all started off as Irish, you know? Because you can't have those two groups just flying off together.
That's what I was trying to figure out, is like, were half of them basically like hipsters?
Yeah.
Because they came... I mean, they're going to this planet in like, what, the 22nd century or something?
Yeah.
It's not like they got beamed up from... 1890s Ireland.
Right. And
unless it's a bunch of space hipsters who are like, you know, it'd be hilarious if we start a colony and we all dress like our ancestors.
Or were they all were they all scientists and they had like a splinter cell that was like, fuck technology, man, like fuck vaccines, and they just went to this planet and were like, now we're Irish for no particular reason. Because the other group isn't Irish.
Oxygen in the air.
The other group is a modern society.
Yeah.
I don't think the episode breaks down why this happens or how it makes any goddamn sense whatsoever.
But they talk about bringing. They talk about bringing a loom, and because that's the point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
It wasn't when they beamed them up that I thought, oh, space Irish. It was when Data was talking. They were talking about all the stuff they brought with them. This sounds like space Irish.
They brought animals and looms. So, the Developed Society was an offshoot of the original Irish, and they just became much superior.
I guess. Well. I mean, I guess it's Springfield and Shelbyville, I guess. And so, yeah, it kind of works out because the people in Shelbyville marry date their cousins.
Yeah. That's right. Poor Shelbyville.
But yeah, it's such a, that straight, out of place, characterization is so original series.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the other thing I would like to say is I'm really glad you didn't, hold on a second. I wrote it down here, I think.
We got notes.
Oh, yeah. I'm really glad that you didn't justify this episode under Picard saying, sometimes you just have to bow to the absurd.
I was actually...
if you were going to do that again, I was going to be real mad. It's like, I'll give that to you once, maybe twice, but you can't just have episodes where someone says, this is dumb, and then we're like, no, this episode is great because they say it's dumb.
I was actually thinking, I always think about how I want to start off, and I was going to say, that statement kind of sums up the overall episode. Not in a way that justifies it, but it's just like, this is just absurd. This episode is not particularly good. And Picard, not a good fake laugher. Not a good acting at laughing.
Where does he laugh?
When he says that, he's like, sometimes you just have to laugh. And it's like, I don't know.
Shakespearean laugh.
Yeah, it's a very theater laugh.
I was surprised at how, although I think you get it a little bit at the end when he's explaining the idea to the girl. But I was surprised at how, like, cool he is about this whole thing, and and he doesn't get a lot of that. My favorite thing where he's like, "What the fuck am I doing?"
He doesn't even particularly get annoyed by the Irish who are obnoxious and setting the ship on fire.
Yeah,
he's kind of just like, "Well, yeah, this is
dealt
something.
With a lot less, much
more." Yeah, exactly. Imagine if it was just clones of Wesley. Probably would be his worst situation. Yeah,
I mean that's another thing too. It's like, I mean, if your solution is you take these people who are clones, and this is going to – now that I think about it, this whole thing is like a really
– it's like, kind of unsavory.
Yeah, because the whole thing with the clones is that they've cloned themselves past the point of thinking that sexual intercourse is even like palatable.
Which Riker is disgusted by. It was right after he entered Pound Town with that lady.
You put me in a room with all of your women, and I will change their minds. I'll do them all at the same time. I don't care.
I was on a Klingon ship. I had a Klingon threesome. Just dropping that in there.
But yeah, they've got this group that has moved beyond sexual reproduction and now finds it, like, gross. Beneath them.
Yeah, beneath them.
And you're forcing them to breed with basically a bunch of carnies.
Yep.
And, like, that's kind of... And just being like, well, there you go. I mean, there's a good chance that never happens and everybody just dies.
Yes.
Like, those clones could very easily be like, no. And if they do it, it's like, well, how... I mean, maybe this is thinking about the way this plays out a little bit too much, which you can read all about in my fan fiction.
Maybe, you know, that Klingon beer that Worf brought up, maybe it's just as poisonous as the tea. It's just slow acting and he doesn't realize it.
Well, I thought you were going to say, give them some of that, get everybody fucked up. And then it's just, you know, it's like the cave rave in Matrix 2.
Yeah, it's basically the chaos of it.
But yeah, like, that's the only plan they go with. And the clones don't even say something like, well, at the very least, could maybe you send down some more civilized people from your ship?
Yeah, right. Does anyone want to stay here? Is there anybody?
Yeah, or something like that. Or, I mean, that's why I was surprised Riker wasn't like, this guy.
Captain, this mission's got my name all over it. Ugh, terrible. Yeah, it's just a bit of a letdown. Q-Who,
Replicator. Give me 8,000 condoms.
Prophylactics.
Wait. I know I'm not supposed to be using condoms, but you know, these filthy Irish, I don't know what they have.
She's sleeping with goats and pigs, for Christ's sake. Not a good one. Yeah, well, I'll get into my final thoughts. I was torn between a 1 and a 2.
Yeah.
I think this is a super weak 2. probably the same as Samaritan, which was right before this. It's got huge problems. It's somewhat watchable, and it doesn't upset me to the point of being a one, so I'm gonna give it a 2 out of 5. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would probably say the same. I think it's watchable if you enjoy hilarious stereotypes.
Yes. Maybe have a couple of those Klingon drinks before getting into it. Yeah, I'm getting tired of these episodes where these plots are just like, someone build to something. Like, do something here.
Yeah.
And it's not doing that.
Yeah, I actually feel like you could have had a really interesting episode here if you had played it a little bit more subtly.
Yep.
Like, the idea of the... I think if the counterpoint to the clones was something more legitimately philosophically interesting...
As
opposed to just a bunch of fucking assholes.
Or, I don't like this. They make no... It's never made clear why the Enterprise crew does not like these clones.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yes, that too. Yeah, well, I mean, like... They kind of get into it, but...
What's their argument? They basically, like, you don't have
because
sex.
Because every Riker is a snowflake. That's
right. Basically, but... He... Later on, I mean, they don't know this point. Later on in the series, he gets a clone. And he's like, now you're my brother. Yeah, he gets Thomas Riker.
Oh, Jesus. Do they call themselves the Eiffel Tower?
It's their tag team name. Yeah, he gets a clone there, but this episode makes no... It's funny because Melinda Snodgrass wrote Measure of a Man, which is pure philosophical about what makes you a person.
Yeah.
And this has no such argument about any of that.
Yeah.
Riker's just like, I don't like clones. I'm going to go murder those clones, which are fully formed people. They're like melty people.
Yeah, well, I think that's what I mean when I feel like it got rewritten or something, because it's like they definitely had some... you know, kind of heavy ideas that they wanted to play with.
Yeah.
And that's like somebody said, this is way too heavy. Can we just put in some, like, stereotypical Irish guys, like drunks or something, to just, like, you know, bring the levity up a little?
It's just, there's, like, Paddy St. Michael, the writer. He's like, I feel like we need more Irish in this episode.
I like the idea, but these names are not going to fly. It's basically Charlie O'Chan you've got here.
And that's the big... The episode just missed the mark.
Yeah, I think if instead of the Irish, they had something a little bit more philosophically interesting to counterpoint the clone thing.
Yeah.
Where, and it's like you're saying, instead of just thinking they were, you know, peasants.
Right.
There was something that you could really sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know. Maybe they're Klingons or...
Right, yeah.
Or just, you know, black or, you know... Yeah. So, I mean, because that's... I mean, a racial thing could have been interesting or...
Yep.
For instance, imagine if there was something about wanting to take the cells out of somebody and the only people who volunteered to do it were was Worf.
Right. Yeah.
Like, would they be like, no, thank you?
Well, that's
like that. I mean, that would be kind of interesting.
I was thinking the point where, you know, they shoot Riker and Pulaski and drag him off, and Geordi just comes in right afterwards. They don't do anything to him.
Yeah.
I thought that was either lazy writing, which it probably was, but they also don't make the point that he's blind and they don't want to clone him. Like, if you had the clonist be sort of elitist and be like, we can't have anyone who sort of has a, like, debilitation or anything like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they do it as lazy writing because Geordi has to go back and tell them that they were not, that they were in that room because they don't remember. That's the whole reason he comes in. When he has no reason to be on the planet whatsoever.
Yeah. yeah, good
it's
point.
Just that kind of thing. Like, they could have had a moral stance about, like, who they're choosing to clone, like, what, like, if disabilities make people lesser people in this argument, but they don't do any of that, and it just results in a stupid episode.
Yeah, you know, I think they missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Pulaski stuff is good, but they don't do anything with it.
Yeah, it's a shame. Her my favorite episode with her is this one, and it's not a good episode, but it's her best thing.
Yeah, especially given that opening scene with her and Worf, where, you know, they're doing the cultural differences thing with two people who are so vastly different.
Yes.
As opposed to a bunch of, you know, snotty Irish people and a bunch of yuppies,
yep.
which is not exactly, you know, apartheid here.
Right. And Pulaski's a good character for the tea scene because she's not openly fully accepting. She's sort of sarcastic to difference. You know what I mean? She doesn't like Data.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really respect Worf's, this is embarrassing. She helps him, but she's sort of critical of the fact that his Klingon belief system finds this embarrassing.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was wondering about is why he was so concerned about people knowing that he was sick. Is it just a Klingon thing?
He claimed it's a childhood disease.
Doctor? I wish to thank you for protecting my...
Your secret is safe with me. Worf, I'm honored. No one has ever performed the Klingon tea ceremony for me. There, that should do it.
You know the ceremony.
I understand the externals, not the mysteries. I'm not a Klingon.
You must not drink the tea. It is deadly to humans.
And none too good for Klingons.
It is a test of bravery, of one's ability to look at the face of mortality. It is also a reminder that death is an experience best shared, like the tea.
Worf, you're a romantic.
It is among the Klingons that love poetry achieves its fullest flower.
Hold that thought. Antidote. If you're going to share, let's share. Now, quote me a little of that poetry.
Yeah, I don't think there's really much else to say about this one. Not great. I give it a 2 out of 5. Had potential. Failed, which I think is, I'll talk a bit more about this in my season 2 wrap up, but a episode with potential is a big step forward from season 1.
Yeah.
Where a lot of season 1 episodes were, I don't see any potential in this idea whatsoever. I don't know what you're really talking about. And here at least the bad episodes are clusters of ideas usually that don't really fire off together.
Yeah. And, you know, I would much prefer that. I mean, if you, a cluster of good ideas than just 40 minutes of, you know, garbage.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I find this episode more interesting than The Neutral Zone.
Yes.
Which is just 40 minutes of nothing.
Irritation, basically. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Well, I'll be back next time. I figure what the episode after this one is, but I will be back for that with someone. Clay, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And see you guys later.
See you.